Welcome to another edition of Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling Show. I'm Anthony T. In this edition, I will be talking about Rhode Island Comic Con news as we're getting close to that convention. I'll have some thoughts on that. I'll also have thoughts on my time at CT Horror Fest. And then I will review a film that will be coming to Amazon Prime later this month in What's Anthony T Watching. And you can tell by now there will be no guests on this episode. It'll be just me talking about a lot of stuff, because there's some things in the news. As this is all horror month here on Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling Show, as October will focus more on horror and Rhode Island Comic Con, obviously, because that usually takes place the first week of November. So I'll always be talking about that in October as well. We got those topics and the news. Starting off, the news is the return of the most talked about topic on this podcast, Jason Blum and Blumhouse Productions. Now, this is a very interesting article on Collider.com in which Jason Blum gave an interview about the upcoming Halloween Kills film. If you haven't heard the news by now, Halloween Kills will be in theaters and on Peacock on October 15th. And this is a film that I've been literally dying to see. In fact, I was hoping this would be the film where I start going back to the theaters and see films on the big screen where films are meant to be seen. But that's not going to happen with Halloween Kills, obviously, as I still don't feel comfortable going back to the movie theater. Trust me, I want to go back to the movie theater so bad, but with this pandemic going on, I just don't feel comfortable going and staying in one place for 2 hours. So, I will be seeing Halloween Kills on the Peacock streaming service. And the most surprising thing about this interview and the whole deal with Halloween Kills going to Peacock is the fact that it was Jason Blum's idea to do this. This was not a Universal Studios call, because I originally thought Universal Studios would have came up with the idea, put this one on demand, as that was my way of thinking. When I heard the news about his interview and the fact that it was Jason Blum's decision to go to Universal Studios and tell Universal Studios to put the film on Peacock streaming service, it surprised me, because I really thought, I was going to the mindset that I thought the decision at first was the fact that the mixed reviews coming out of the Vienna Film Festival, where the film had its world premiere, was the overriding decision to put Halloween Kills on the Peacock streaming service. Because October is a very crowded theatrical field. It didn't look that way at the beginning, but it just turned out to be crowded, because you have the new Venom film, which did a lot of money at the box office in its opening weekend. You have the James Bond film out, and that's going to make a lot of money at the box office. So I thought that was the decision-making process in determining that Universal put Halloween Kills on the Peacock streaming service, along with theatrical release. Well, it was Jason Blum's idea, because according to the interview, and I'm going to quote the interview, that Jason Blum said, "It was my idea to do it. They didn't approach me. I approached them." He also reveals, "I, like everyone else, am a big believer in the theatrical experience. I think there should be windows. I think Universal's strategy of a 3-week window is a great strategy. But I had bad distribution experience with Freaky. That movie is a great movie and it didn't get seen because the distribution of it got all twisted up. My fault." When I hear that, I think Jason Blum was very afraid of having another situation like he did with Freaky, where it's a very good film. Don't get me wrong, I liked the film a lot. I rented it on VOD. But I think he realizes that there's a very good chance that Halloween Kills would bomb at the box office due to all the pandemic-related issues going on right now, and he did not want to have another confusing distribution for a film that is a tentpole film for his production company. So, I don't blame Jason Blum for putting Halloween Kills on streaming. I really don't in this case. He's hoping he does not have to do it next year with Halloween Ends. As he did also say in the interview, just don't expect the same strategy for Halloween Ends next year. Which I probably hope not. I would love to see Halloween Ends on the big screen. But it depends on how long this pandemic goes on, quite frankly. I don't think Jason Blum felt comfortable putting a major horror film like Halloween Kills on the big screen during a pandemic. I know they put Candyman on the big screen, but I'm kind of surprised that this happened, quite frankly. As I was willing to wait the 30 to 45 day theatrical window for Halloween Kills, as I was not in the mood to go back into the theaters. But since putting the film on Peacock streaming service, which is owned by NBC Universal anyway, it's going to help NBC Universal a whole lot with new subscribers, it really was the right call, quite frankly. Because I really don't think Halloween Kills is going to be the success that the first Halloween film a couple years ago was at the box office during this climate. So I can't wait to see Halloween Kills, quite frankly. And in fact, I will be talking about Halloween Kills next episode. So check out for that. In more Jason Blum news, the new Paranormal Activity film finally has a title. It finally has a trailer. The next Paranormal Activity film is being called Paranormal Activity Next of Kin. And the trailer really makes it look like it's going to be a departure from the first six films of the series. Which is maybe a good thing. I will go into this film with an open mind. But still, it did not feel like a normal Paranormal Activity film when I watched the trailer for this film. But still, this is a film that looks interesting. It looks different from all the other entries in the Paranormal Activity franchise. It's a film that I really cannot wait to see. The trailer looks creepy, which is good. The fact that this film is on Paramount Plus is good or bad, depending if there's a Blu-ray release of this film. I'm hoping this is a good film. It looks very different, so this looks like a film that could go either way for me. As the trailer really is good, it looks like it's veering away from the found footage of the first films in the series, hence reboot. So I cannot wait to check this film out. I'm really hoping it's a good film, quite frankly, as it would be nice to see a very good Paranormal Activity film for once. As the last couple of films in the franchise have been okay, not great. The Mocked Ones was probably the best of the last three films, which isn't saying much, but still, I'm really hoping Paranormal Activity Next of Kin is a very good film. The film is slated to be released on October 29th, only on Paramount Plus. Meaning you need a Paramount Plus subscription to see this film. Because this film ain't gonna be in the theaters, everyone. I don't know how to think about that, but it's gonna be a very interesting film, one way or the other. At least Christopher Landon, who's written screenplays for Freaky and Happy Death Day, is writing the screenplay for this film. And the film is being directed by William Eubank, who directed Underwater. So it's going to be a very interesting film one way or the other. Can't wait to check this film out right before Halloween on October 29th. And finally, this has been a while since we've heard news about the Hellraiser movie. You have to remember, there's a Hellraiser movie and a Hellraiser TV series coming soon. Well, we finally got news on it. And the fact is, production has already wrapped for the film. That's right. We are now finally getting a Hellraiser reboot. It is official because the film has finished production. So, 2022, we will be getting a new Hellraiser film. There's a couple of new details to this. First of all, Clive Barker is joining the production as a producer. So this probably means this film has his seal of approval. Since he's joined the film, and basically you cannot do another Hellraiser film without Clive Barker because he has full control of the rights to the Hellraiser franchise. And if that wasn't enough, we finally now know who's playing Pinhead in that film. It will be actress Jamie Clayton. She's most notably known for TV series work, as she's appeared on TV series such as Sense8 and The L Word, Generation Q. This new Hellraiser film is going to be a very interesting film, in a good way, because it's doing a lot of things different. And I like the fact that it's going a totally different route. You have a female Pinhead, plus the fact that the property is now under the control of Clive Barker again. So there is no telling what the new Hellraiser film is going to look like. The film is also being produced by David S. Goyer and directed by David Bruckner. I'm so excited for this upcoming reboot of Hellraiser, which is going to be hitting the Hulu streaming service, I have to assume, next year, because production's already done. It's just a matter of when we get a release date for the film, as I really love the Hellraiser franchise, and I kind of like the fact it's going in a different direction. I like the fact that they're changing the Pinhead character from the original films, which is going to make the film very interesting, as I'm very excited to see this film. This film will probably be out next year. At least this film has Clive Barker's seal of approval, so that's always a good thing. And the fact that it's going to be on the Hulu streaming service, which is an interesting choice, quite frankly, that Spyglass Media went that way. But with the fact that HBO having the TV series, it's probably best to put the film franchise somewhere else if you're going to put it on a streaming service. And Hulu's not a bad way to go, as they've put on some quality entertainment on that streaming service. So I really can't wait for the new Hellraiser reboot, which comes out next year, as this is going to be a very interesting film. It's going to be very different. I just have that feeling it's going to be totally different. And I'm very interested to see where this franchise goes. And with that, that's the news. Besides Anthony T's horror show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Philip Perrone and Michael Darwin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews. And Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, in Spotify. Welcome back. Now, Rhode Island Comic Con is always one of the biggest conventions I go to year in, year out. This year is no exception, as they have a very good lineup so far. As this year, they're bringing guests from various TV shows and films such as The Mandalorian, Cobra Kai, The Boys, The Warriors, Clerks, And they also have a very good wrestling lineup this year, as they recently announced some really big names to the upcoming convention. First off, we have Francine, the Queen of Extreme. Now, she was a valet in the original Extreme Championship Wrestling. Now, this is a promotion I caught at the tail end of its run, but I really loved this promotion. The product was insane. It had a more rebellious feel to it compared to the Attitude Era of WWE and WCW. That was like one of those companies I wish was stayed in business, but they went under in 2001. I really loved that promotion. Seriously. It really made me the wrestling fan that I am today. It made me appreciate the technical aspects of wrestling, as she has some really good technical wrestlers in that promotion. RVD was a great wrestler in that promotion. Steve Corino was very good. Jerry Lynn. All very underrated wrestlers, as they would also put on really good matches, which I really loved. It made me appreciate the technical wrestling aspects of wrestling. ECW also had some really crazy hardcore matches as well, including guys jumping off of balconies, flaming tables, crazy stuff that you don't see much in wrestling today, as the 90s was a different era for wrestling. Then this convention all of a sudden became All Elite. Now, here's a funny story about all these All Elite wrestling guests that are coming to Rhode Island Comic Con. As originally, AEW Full Gear was going to run the same weekend as Rhode Island Comic Con, but that did not happen, obviously. AEW changed the date to Full Gear to November 13th, as this was originally supposed to take place November 6th, but due to, I think, a UFC card, they moved their pay-per-view to November 13th. And also the fact that this year for Rhode Island Comic Con, there seems to be a lot of guests being announced late, as the convention usually has this lineup locked down by now. The fact that they're still announcing guests this late before a convention is like mind-boggling, because usually Rhode Island Comic Con would have their lineup all set around this time, but I think with COVID and everything, they probably wanted to err on the side of caution, because we didn't know what the landscape was going to be for this convention, if they were going to have a convention at all. So that's why you're seeing a lot of late guest announcements, which is very rare for Rhode Island Comic Con, but it really benefits the wrestling lineup, as I was not excited with the wrestling lineup they had previously announced, as they, I think, announced maybe 4 or 5 wrestlers, and I didn't think they were going to be announcing many more wrestlers, but since All Elite Wrestling is not running on November 6th, Rhode Island Comic Con was able to get some really good AEW guests, which made me excited, because I originally thought Terrific Con was going to be the only time I would get a chance to meet any AEW stars this year, but since the pay-per-view moved to the 13th of November, Rhode Island Comic Con was able to get some really good AEW guests. First, they're bringing in Matt Hardy, whom is a legend in the wrestling business. Then they brought in Britt Baker, who is the current AEW Women's Champion. And she also did a show for Altered Reality Entertainment in Colorado Springs this past August. So that wasn't a surprise, considering they were bringing AEW guests. But the last two were really big surprises, seriously. Then they announced Ruby Soho. Now, she's the one I've been following since the independent scene, when she was wrestling for Beyond Wrestling in Jakara, under Heidi Lovelace. I really liked her in the ring, as she was very underutilized in WWE. I was very surprised when she got announced, because I didn't know she was doing conventions. I figured they may try to bring Darby Allin in, or maybe Sting. But Ruby Soho, that was a surprising name. And the next one was even more surprising. They also managed to get Adam Cole Bay Bay. That's right, Adam Cole is coming to Rhode Island Comic Con. Now, he is currently one of the hottest stars in wrestling, period. A couple of months ago, he was wrestling for WWE. Now he's wrestling for AEW and doing conventions. So, I was just floored when I found out Adam Cole was coming to this convention, because he's one of those guys I've been following since his independent wrestling days. Whether he was working in CZW or Ring of Honor, Adam Cole is a great wrestler, and is probably one of the best young wrestlers out there today. Who would have thought at the beginning of this year that Adam Cole would be at Rhode Island Comic Con? Nobody. Because we didn't even know he was going to be a free agent this year neither. So, I'm just shocked that Adam Cole's coming to Rhode Island Comic Con. As I was literally joking with a friend, oh, they announced Britt Baker, they're going to announce Adam Cole soon, because it's a fact that Adam Cole is dating Britt Baker. So I figured, oh, they're probably going to announce Adam Cole too, thinking they probably would not do that. But hours later, they did. They announced Adam Cole, baby. I am just so excited for this AEW lineup. In fact, this is probably a better lineup than the one at Terrificon, quite frankly. And that was also a very good lineup as well, of AEW stars. So, the wrestling portion of this convention is so exciting. I cannot wait to meet some of the wrestlers there. Now, also they announced, after the wrestling portion, they announced that Tony Todd will be coming to Rhode Island Comic Con. Yes, the Tony Todd that starred in the original Candyman, Night of the Living Dead remake, and other stuff like Star Trek The Next Generation and The Flash. He's coming to Rhode Island Comic Con, and he's doing a Candyman photo op, which is interesting. I'm surprised that they're doing a Candyman photo op at this convention, because literally at Rhode Island Comic Con, they don't usually do costume photo ops. The only time that I think they did it was the Mick Foley one, which I did, obviously, back I think in 2019. So I like the fact that they do costume photo ops as well, as it will attract a lot of people to get that photo op. And I can't wait to see who else they announce next, as there's still more people to be announced, which is very weird for this time of year, as Rhode Island Comic Con usually has their lineup set. But it's going to be interesting to see who else they announce next. I really cannot wait to attend Rhode Island Comic Con this year, which takes place November 5th through the 7th at the Rhode Island Convention Center and Dunkin' Donuts Center. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a great lineup, as this is probably going to be a very good show. I can't wait to be there. For more information on Rhode Island Comic Con, you can go to RhodeIslandComicCon.com. Every day, there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer, and they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters.
Hey guys, this is Steven Christina. I'm the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well then, look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John! Now for something new and improved!
Welcome back. Recently, yours truly went to see T-Horror Fest. As usually, this is one of my favorite conventions of the year, and it was great to have it back after not having it in 2020 due to everything going on in the world. It was really great to go back to this convention. Because let's face it, CT Horror Fest is usually one of my favorite conventions that I like going to every year. So I was really excited to go to this year's CT Horror Fest. One of the main reasons why I was excited about CT Horror Fest was the fact that this year I had James Jude Courtney from David Gordon Green's Halloween in the upcoming Halloween Kills. This was like a late guest announcement. More like a week before the convention, he was announced as a replacement guest, nonetheless. Now, before we get into my time meeting with James, Jude, Courtney, and all the other guests there, it's amazing that they got James, Jude, Courtney as a last-minute replacement guest. And yes, I say last minute replacement guest, because originally Keith David was supposed to be at this convention, but he canceled like a week and a half before the convention, and get somebody the caliber of James Jude Courtney at this late stage, right before a convention, is amazing, literally. Because usually you do not get a big time guest or an upgrade. No offense to Keith David, but getting someone from a major horror film in the late stages, right before the convention, is highly unheard of, literally. Because usually when you get replacement guests near towards the convention, you usually get someone maybe is like a lower tier type guest. Because usually you do not get a big name to be at a convention on like a week and a half's notice. But CT Horror Fest did a great job in pulling that off and getting James Jude Courtney there, because it literally helped this convention. Most definitely, as I'll get into my thoughts on this convention, because the place was literally packed from the minute I got in there a little after 10. As there was a huge line going into that convention. As usually, if you buy tickets early, you can get in an hour early, which is usually one of the best things about this convention. But there were a lot of people there, obviously, because a lot of people usually buy tickets early. But this CT Horror Fest really felt different from past CT Horror Fests. It's the fact that this convention was packed from like maybe like 10:30 on, because literally I stayed there to 12 o'clock. And even when I left at 12 o'clock, there was a long line all the way through the parking lot, which is amazing, seriously. It's always great to see a huge line, don't get me wrong. It's great to see cons have good huge lines. But it was just, what the hell? It's like, I couldn't believe it myself. Seriously. This literally felt like Rockin' Shock, not a normal CT Horror Fest. But I'll get into more of that a little bit, because I want to talk about my time there. It first started off when I got in the building. And I immediately started to look for James Jude Courtney's line. I knew this guy would be a big guest, so I wanted to get him out of the way first. So first thing I did, along with a couple of friends, is we went all the way to the end of the building, figuring he would be there because he's such a headliner guest that, oh, they're going to need at least a good line control for him. Nope, he was not there. Instead, I found Skeet Ulrich and Matthew Lillard's lines packed, as they were the big guests at this convention. Then Rachel True, which had a good line. Then I went to there was like an empty space where the Paranormal Activity duo was. And then there was Kathy Najimy from Hocus Pocus and Sister Act, Her line was impact, but she didn't start signing until 11. By the time I got down there, about 10:45, 11, that line was starting to get packed. But back to when I first came into the building, I saw he was in there, tried to find where James Jude Courtney was. He was at the other end of the building, right by the entrance. So I literally, and I know you should not do this at a convention, run. I literally jogged to the other side of that building. Because there was like nobody there, so I could do it, first of all. I almost ran over one of the guests with my bag, because literally, James Jude Courtney's line would pick up in a hurry. I knew this coming in, that his line was going to be a packed line. So, I go against one of my rules in what you should not do in a convention, and I just did it anyway. I literally ran, aka jogged, from one end to the other, and I did it because there was hardly anybody there, so I can get down there very quickly, because James Jude Courtney was going to have a packed line. You know it, I know it. So, I had to jog down there to get to the other side. Thankfully, it wasn't that big of a line. Because 5-10 minutes later, the line started to really be big. Seriously, literally. James Jude Courtney was a big guest. And I planned it along with my friend that we go see him first. Because he's going to be packed. And this is a convention where you don't have any VIP tickets. Where you can cut in the front of the line. So I decided to get him out of the way. Very nice guy. Have to admit, it was very nice seeing him, seriously. He's such a cool person to be with. That was a fun experience, as you can also see on the photo op on the social media pages. So then afterwards, I decided, you know what, why don't I get the Paranormal Activity duo done? Because I wanted to meet them so badly, too. So I went all the way back down to the convention hall. Keep in mind, I did walk slowly this time, because I was in no hurry, plus everything was starting to get packed in there. It was hot in the building, so I didn't want to do anything to get myself in trouble, so I just went calmly straight to the line and met Katie and Micah from Paranormal Activity. Both very nice people. Chatted a little bit. I also liked how they formatted everything literally. They both sat next to each other. You were able to get a joint autograph, meaning two autographs on one photo, and then have a joint picture with the two actors from that film. That was kind of a cool experience, seriously. Because normally at horror cons, you never get a joint table photo op. You just go right up to the actor, you get your picture, we're done. For the Paranormal Activity people, I like how the way they had it set up where you could take a picture with both of them after you pay both of their combo prices, which I did because I brought the autograph and the photo, which came out to about $100, but I love the movie so much, I'm going to do it, obviously. But if you want to get an autograph from either of those two, they were both charging like $50 each for both an autograph picture and a photo. You could also get the photo or the autograph separately as well. But I'm more of a combo person. Meaning at conventions, I will do the autograph and the photo. That's the type of person I am. I love Paranormal Activity. Seriously. It's a very good film. I think the first three films in the Paranormal Activity series are great films. I know I'll probably get a lot of hate for it, but I think they're very good films, quite frankly. Then I did my annual horror convention tradition, making the VS table rain with money. As that table should just be declared a gambling table, seriously. Because every time VS is at a convention, I'm going to spend at least a good $100, $200 on that table. I always do that. I don't make many VS purchases throughout the year. I'll make them during the halfway to Black Friday sale, the Black Friday sale, conventions, or if something I really, really want, and I don't think the slipcover is going to last to the sale, or be on sale, period, I will order from their website. But mostly, I will buy a lot of my VS stuff at conventions. Because, A, I get a good deal, and two, I just love spending money at that table. As that table and the trauma table are the tables where I really spend my money. Literally spend my money every time I'm at a horror convention. If one of those two or both of them are there, I'm throwing money at those tables. No questions asked. So I did that. Picked up some good films, including some of their latest releases, including Resurrection with Christopher Lambert. Auntie Lee's Meat Pies, which I'm hearing good things about. Picked that up. I picked up Psycho Sisters, the original version. The one that was done by Wave. And if you haven't want to know more about that production company, definitely check out Mail Order Murders. It's a great documentary on that production company. It kind of got me interested in that production company. Because I was never a fan of that production company until I saw that documentary, which I ordered online because the slipcover was going to go fast. So I decided to get it before any sale. So I got that like a couple months prior to this convention. So definitely check out that documentary as I'm getting way off track here. After the VS table, I went to some booths picking up stuff such as three Mandy Funkos, including a Chase variant of Mandy. Now that's a fun story there. I was like, I think walking around and I just see those Mandy Funkos and I see the Chase Funko. I see the price, $25. That ain't a bad price for a Chase Funko. It's like staring at it for like a minute because I really wanted it. So I got that, along with the two other Mandy Funkos, regular ones, of course. I also stopped over at Deadly Grounds Coffee, of course, a must. Picked up a couple bags of pumpkin spice coffee to last me till next year. I also met the co-creators of Token with the Dead. Very nice guys. Definitely check out their podcast, as they also have a podcast on the Dorkening as well, besides being comic book creators. Picked up the first four issues of that comic. Can't wait to check that out. Stopped over by It Came from the 508 booth. Picked up a shirt there. Chatted with my fellow Dead Kids of Derry co-host, James Lamond. And the gang over at It Came From the 508 Productions. Always fun to stop by the 508 production booth. And I also stopped at one of my regular t-shirt vendors that I go to. Very nice guy. I believe the company is Eclipse. If you see Eclipse at any convention, definitely support that vendor. Very cool guy. One of the nicest people I've met on the con scene. Definitely support his business, as he usually brings a lot of great shirts, whether it's a Comic-Con or a horror convention. He usually has some really good shirts. Picked up a new Friday the 13th shirt with one of the original poster arts. And it's not the one that's the iconic one that everyone knows about. It's a different alternate poster art. And then I kind of wrapped up after doing all my shopping and everything and met Bob Elmore. Originally was not on my to-get list, but price was reasonable. Plus, I kind of figured this might be the last chance I get to see him because he's getting up there in age. So I decided to get an autograph and picture. Very nice guy. Chatted a little bit about Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, where he played Leatherface. It was very nice meeting him. Very nice guy. Had a good time chatting with him. Then I left the building for the day. And when I walked out of the Nantucket Convention Center, and my jaw literally dropped, as there was a huge line outside from the entrance all the way to the parking lot. And it was like way deep into that parking lot over there. There was a big line in that parking lot. And one of the first things I thought to myself was, am I at CT Horror Fest or Rock and Shock? Seriously. Because that line was so huge. I never seen a line like that at a CT Horror Fest event. It was so big. I'm not kidding you. I could not believe the line when I walked out in the Nortucket Event Center. And this was 12 p.m. Because I only stayed for like 2 hours, literally. Because CT Horror Fest is one of those conventions where you can get done in about 2 hours. And my jaw dropped when I exited that building. And the first thought to my mind is, they need a new venue. Now, before I go into that part, I just want to say, I had a great time at CT Horror Fest. I think it's one of the best horror conventions in the New England area, even though it's the only one right now. But when you see a huge line and you're leaving a building, my first thoughts after leaving that building was, they need to move this event to another venue. Now, this is no disrespect to Larry Dreyer and the people running CT Horror Fest, as they do a great job year in, year out. I've had no complaints about this convention, but when I'm walking out of a door and I see a huge line outside, my thought is, they need to get out of that convention hall because they have outgrown the Nortucket Convention Center. Don't get me wrong, this is a great thing for CT Horror Fest that they got a lot of people to come to their convention. But when you see lines outside, it tells you the venue is too small. And with the guests they brought in this year, you had like literally 4 major guests. That convention needs to be moved to another convention hall. I don't like to say this. It's good that CT Horror Fest did a great job in attendance when they had their event, but they need to move this convention. They do a great job with controlling lines. They do a great job with everything, but they really need to move this convention to a hotel or a bigger convention hall because they need more space. And when you need more space, it's a good thing because you want this convention to expand. And I want to see the best for CT Horror Fest. I think it's one of the best horror conventions in the New England area. Even when you have your regular convention, CT Horror Fest is one of the best New England conventions in the area. And it's a great thing that a lot of people turned out, meaning there's a lot of interest in this horror convention. But the one thing that the organizers need to do is move to a bigger venue because it will help the show continue to grow. And that's what I love to see in the near future, quite frankly, for this convention. It is a great convention. They know how to control lines. They know how to do everything right. They've outgrown the Nortucket Convention Center. And it's a good thing. It means there's a lot of demand for this show. It should be allowed to grow even into a bigger show. Quite frankly, now since it'll be the longest running show in the New England area. There's nothing but great things in the future for CT Horror Fest, but they need to get out of the Nortucket Convention Center because there should not be long lines for any convention. Trust me, I've experienced what happens when you end up having over demand. You have to sit outside and wait for a couple of hours. It's not fun. So I really hope CT Horror Fest expands, because I would love to see this convention to continually grow. And quite frankly, it can become the premier horror convention in the New England area, because right now there's nothing standing in its way. Seriously. I hope they expand to a new venue and continue the great work that the organizers and volunteers for that convention do every year. Because CT Horror Fest is, quite frankly, my favorite horror convention out of all the horror conventions I go to, and probably one of the best conventions I go to, period, every year. So I really hope next year we get a bigger venue for CT Horror Fest, because this show has the ability to become a major show in the New England area for horror fans. As I continuously have a great time at CT Horror Fest year in, year out. It was like my 3rd CT Horror Fest. But they need to get out of the Nortucket Convention Center, because that building has outgrown this convention, and this convention can be something in the New England area, as they continuously put on good shows every year.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
This is Carrie.
This is Billy.
This is Mr. Boat.
And we are from A Podcast from Beneath. You can catch us every Wednesday wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
You'll find Anthony T's horror and wrestling show on these social media platforms. On Facebook, Instagram, and the Slasher app at Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling. And on Twitter at Anthony T's Horror. You'll find new episodes on DarkDiscussions.com, major podcast providers, and YouTube. What's Anthony T watching? Well, in between episodes, yours truly caught a couple of films over at an online film festival called Without Your Head, Bloody Stumps Film Festival. And one of the films that really caught my eye in that festival was a film called Acting. Now, this is the latest film from director Sam Mason Bell, who's directed such films as Industrial Animals, which was released by Troma, and The Truth Will Out, which was released by Dockside Releasing. According to the official synopsis from IMDb, Una would do anything to be a successful actress, and when the perfect killer role does arrive, she will do anything to succeed. This film is different from a lot of other horror films out there, as this is more of a art house slash giallo film. Acting was a very good film, I have to admit. This is, I think, one of the best films I've seen all year. And one of the things I liked about this film is its uniqueness. I like the fact that director Sam Mason Bell does a very good job in making a film that is focused on very few characters, whether it's his direction or the screenplay that Bell co-wrote with actress Annabella Rich. This film really is a different film from compared to all the other horror films released this year. Most of this film relies on one character to drive home all the action, and that's a very hard thing for a film like this, when you have your film being basically a one-character film for most of the film. But I thought it was a great film. This film has a great performance by Annabella Rich, as she really does give one of the best female performances of the year in this film. She does a great job with the way that she approaches the character, with the monologues and dialogue-less scenes. Especially at the end of the film, it's probably the best part of this film. I won't tell anything more about it because I don't want to give it away. But it's definitely worth checking out, as I thought the last 10-15 minutes of this film were great. She also does a very good job making sure her character is interesting enough that it grabs your attention as her main character spirals out of control. It's just a great performance, and one of the best performances of the year from a little film that really should be getting some more publicity, because this is a very good indie horror film. And this is by far Sam Mason Bell's best film I've seen. He does a very good job with the way he directs the scenes in this film. He keeps your interest, whether it's making sure that the lighting stands out or whether it's the action. He does a great job in keeping you invested in the story and making sure the scenes work well. And the film has a very good screenplay as well, as Bell and Annabella Rich create a screenplay that focuses on the psychology of the main character, as it leaves you with a lot of questions during the course of this film. You don't know what is going on, which is sometimes good, like in this film, because this is more of a character study. And another thing that I really liked about the screenplay was the fact that this film had an Italian giallo feel to it, with the way the film uses colors as it adds to the derangedness of the film, whether it's in the background or the knives in the film. It felt like you were looking at the same color at times, which really made it stand out and really made this something interesting. And I also liked how this film is left to your interpretation, because during this film, you couldn't tell if the film was going one way or another way. And that what makes an interesting psychological horror film, is you don't know which way this film is going to go. On top of that, this film also has an excellent score. Like I said, this film had an Italian giallo feel to it throughout, and definitely with the film score, it felt like I was watching an Italian giallo, and the score just adds another element to this film, which really makes this a very good film. Acting is a film that I think people should really keep an eye out for, as the film will be hitting streaming soon. Definitely check this film out, as this film has a great performance from Annabella Rich and great direction from Sam Mason Bell. Acting is a very dark and twisted film that will keep you on edge until the final minutes. Right now, over on the official Facebook of Anthony T's Horror and Wrestling Show, I recently had a live vlogcast on the official Facebook page. That's because I'm having problems with recording material for YouTube. So, for the time being, all the vlogcasts will be on the official Facebook page at facebook.com/AnthonyT'sHorrorAndWrestling. I hope to get that rectified soon, as I really would like to get back on YouTube, because I'd rather be on YouTube than Facebook, because I like doing taped commentaries and all that stuff. So, I'm hoping to get a new web camera or something to film new YouTube videos for the YouTube channel. With that, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and other major podcast providers. I hope you have a good day. Thank you for listening. And remember, support indie wrestling and support indie horror.